a previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at CARM.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It is Matt Slick Live, and you're listening to Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you're new to the show, what we do here is Christian apologetics. We defend the Christian faith. And I've been doing it for 40 years, over 40 years. And I enjoy doing it. So if you have a comment, you have a question, you're not so sure about something in the Bible, truth, the nature of truth, maybe we can talk about evolution, talk about UFOs, the occult. We can talk about Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. There's so many things that we can talk about. And if you have questions about Bible verses and things like that as well, well, all you got to do is give me a call, all right? So, again, the number is 877-207-2276. Why don't we just jump on the lines and get to, let's see, That would be Carrie from Boise, Idaho, right here in my hometown. Hey, Carrie, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, I am calling on behalf of my 17-year-old daughter.
All right.
And she's watching your response on the computer. She has a couple different questions. Sure. And I was hoping that the moderator could post the articles so that my daughter can read them.
Ooh.
And then if you want to respond to one of the questions, or I don't know if you have time.
Sure, we got that.
For
we
me
do.
To speak both of them.
Sure, okay. Let's just go to the first question. All right.
Okay. People who have already died, are mm-hmm. they already in heaven or hell, or are they still waiting for their judgment to happen?
Those people who have trusted in Christ when they die go to be with the Lord, and those who have not go to a bad place. Now, there's debate on exactly whether or not it is hell proper, the lake of fire cast out into outer darkness, but they go to a bad place. And let's just say they go to hell, they're in agony, and that's what they're going to, that condition will always be there. One of the theories is that they'll be resurrected and then judged and have degrees of punishment increased or decreased, I don't know, it's going to be probably increased on them, and then they're cast out into outer darkness in a lake of fire.
Did they already go through judgment?
No. There's a judgment to come. Now there are several judgments, and the Christians go through judgment too, but not for salvation. They go to judgment of works. So all who, according to John 3:17-18, that all who have not trusted in Christ are judged already. So they're judged, and they're lost. So when they die, there's no more hope for them, period. You can't pray, as some Catholics say, pray and you get, you know, help people out, and it doesn't happen. And so they just go to an agonizing, difficult, torturous place. And that condition will never end. Okay, and the Christians go to be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 talks about that. So we go to be with the Lord, and we'll be resurrected, joined with our resurrected bodies in the future. And then we're going to have rewards or loss of rewards in heaven. And so what that means is, you know, each person, each Christian is given things to do by the Lord and gifts. And so if you're using your giftings for Him, there's reward. If you don't, well, not so much reward. And that's the kind of thing that goes on. Okay.
All right. Can I ask a second question?
You just did. How about a third? Go ahead.
Okay. All right. She wants to know, is there a new world waiting for us, or is Jesus going to remake this world, or do we just go immediately to heaven?
Here's the interesting thing about all this. Now, the Bible talks about this, 2 Peter 3, 9-10. It talks about there'd be new heavens and a new earth. And what it appears to be is that after our resurrection, the new heavens and new earth are going to be made, and the elements will melt with intense heat. So it looks like what's going to happen is the earth will be remade. We're going to have the ability to stay here, or not stay, but be here. Stay here for a while if we want. Go be with the Lord. Move. Go places. And the reason we say this is because Jesus is the firstborn from the dead, and he was able to appear and disappear at will. Now, some people think, well, that's because he was God. Maybe. Maybe not. We don't know, because it was after his glorified body was manifested in the resurrection. He just appeared in the upper room and the disciples. Since he's the first fruits of the resurrection, the firstborn from the dead, then some Christian theologians think that we'll have similar abilities. And if that is the case, which I suspect is the case, then we will be able to be on earth, that the new heavens, new earth here, and also maybe travel. I don't know. I'd like to go see some different galaxies. I don't know if that's possible. You know, I like the idea of travel. I like science fiction and planets and aliens. Now, there's any aliens out there, but I would love to be able to do something like that if I could break myself away from the sheer adoration and pleasure of being in the presence of my Lord Jesus. So there's a bit of conjecture about what really is going to happen, but it's within that realm of orthodoxy that Christians kind of debate and discuss it. I don't know if that helps or not, but there you go.
I think that will help her a lot. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, you're welcome very much. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We'll see you. All right. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield, California. Nelson, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Hey. God bless. Yes, I got two questions, but let's start with the first one. Have you heard that Kanye West is going to run for presidency? And if he does, then what do you think about that personally?
He has a right, the same as anybody else does, to file for running for president of the United States. If he wants to do it, then great. Let the voters decide what they want to do. That's what I would say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And my second question is, what do you believe the Bigfoot is?
What, the issue of Bigfoot?
I know it's a different, a whole different curve.
That's all right.
Kanye from Bigfoot. So,
well,
what do you?
I don't know if the Bigfoot phenomena is real or not real, but generally speaking, when enough people have similar stories about similar occurrences in different parts of the world. Then you begin to think, well, something's up. Now, it could be imagination and things like that. So I remember when I was younger, boys' life, I was in the Boy Scouts and things like that. And I remember, I think it was on a Boy Scout cover, but it might have been some other cover. Some guys' expedition team were coming up over in the Himalayas. And they were coming over this high ridge. And they showed the picture, you know, on the cover. And there were footprints. There were large footprints that walked from one side of the picture frame to the other picture frame and just went over this hill. And they had no clue what it was. It wasn't a boot. They were not boots. It was just a single bipedal, left, right, left, right.
Yeah.
I never forgot that because it was very intriguing. They talked about it and said, what is it? So we've had lots of people over there say that they've seen stuff. Now, there's lots of people over here in the United States that have seen things. And, I just don't know. I remember talking to someone who told me that he was out in the southwest of the United States. He was out in the... He and some buddies were doing some camping. And he said that they were in this cabin that they had access to, and they heard some strange noises outside. And it was dark, and they didn't want to go outside. And then they heard some strange noises, you know, it didn't make sense. And then all of a sudden, these rocks were hitting the top of the roof and rolling down on the roof. And they were terrified.
Wow.
And so what was it? Who knows? But You know, is he real, Bigfoot? I think it'd be cool if it was. I mean, I'd like it. And then I think that the leftist Democrats would have some company, you know. So I mean,
do you happen to have any articles on your website referring to Bigfoot?
No, I don't. It's not a very common question I get asked. I get asked about UFOs a lot more, and I need to write about UFOs. Do some research on them and what they teach. UFOs teach things, apparently, you know. So, I don't know about Kanye and if he's going to run or not. And Bigfoot, hey, I think Bigfoot ought to win the Democratic Party because I think that would be a good, I think it'd be good. I think that they could really, it would be better than a lot of people who've run in the Democratic Party. I think it'd be improvement in a lot of areas. Maybe just have them take a bath more often, but. The far left Democrats, not just because you're a Democrat, but just the far left wackos who want to destroy our country and have socialism and say no police and things like that. The leftist mental people who don't have frontal lobes functioning. So, you know.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, okay, Matt. Well, God bless. Keep up the ministry, brother. God bless.
Amen. God bless, Nelson. You're out there in Bakersfield, so maybe you'll see somebody on the hills out there. You never know.
Hopefully, I'll try to tackle down Bigfoot.
Okay. All right, man. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Before we get to the next caller, just let you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. And I'm a constitutionalist, and I just stand in opposition to anybody, don't care who they are, who would say that we need to defund the police, we need to move towards socialism and have free stuff for everybody all the time. It's been done in Venezuela, and Venezuela's economy crashed, and people are starving. I'm not for that here in the United States. In fact, I think that when you look at the Democratic Party, remember, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, but you look at the Democratic Party, it is the party of slavery. If you do your history, do your research, you'll find out that it is the party, the political party, that was against freeing slaves and was the one that promoted the laws against integration of the races. What gets me is that you'll see these people on TV knock down statues because a statue of somebody, they might have had a slave, and yet they have no problem with the Democratic Party existing. Why is that? I think the hypocrisy is profound. And I also think that the Democrat-run cities, which are obviously violent and have all kinds of crime levels, the Democratic ideas of let's all just get along because we're all nice and everything will work out fine, just demonstrates their ignorance and the danger that they have to this country. That's my opinion. I'm a theologian, not a politician, even though I have a good last name to be a politician. My last name is Slick. Not a radio name. It's my real birth name, so that would put me on the head, I think, a lot. Anyway, hey, let's get to the phones after I give the number out, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Dave from North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You are on the air.
Matt, hey, hope you have a good day. Mine's been great. You've made it even better.
Hey, thanks. We've got a break, man. My bad.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hold on?
I will.
A break. All right.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Be right back, folks. Hey, we've got three open lines, folks. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with Dave from North Carolina. Dave, are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, right. I am. Matt, how are you? It's a long, hot summer, and I am extremely patient. It's hot. I want to share something with you really quick before I even ask the question. It's been a great day. It really has. And I wake up a little early in the morning, about 4 o'clock every morning in prayer and reading and studying. And I got some bad news about two of my best friends back to back. Oh my gosh. And one has stage 4 cancer, one has COVID-19, okay, they've been hospitalized. But that aside, what I did was I got on my bike, and I've ridden my bike all day today. I'm a cyclist. And I used that to just praise God. And during that time, the 6 hours on the road, I want to call Matt. It's the first time I've ever called. And I'm not struggling, but I want your not advice. I want your guidance on. You know, I am a forgiven, repented sinner. I know that.
Okay.
For many years, but it still keeps on coming back to me that I keep on hearing that. But on the day of reckoning, you know, I know my sins are forgiven, forgotten, even with. I love that part. What I don't understand is that, you know, on the day of judgment, that they're recorded, they can be brought up again. And I'm saying, really?
Well,
I thought you said you forgot them all, and why bring them up after all this time?
No, God can't forget, because if you forgot, it would mean He didn't know something that would violate His omniscience. The issue is that He will remember them no more. He won't bring them up again. So how do we balance this with the issue of reward and loss of reward? God, of course, knows all things, and He's given to every Christian gifts. And, you know, my gifting is different than your gifting. So you are not to be judged with the gifts that I have and how I did mine or didn't, and vice versa. Your responsibility is to do what you can with what God has given you, whatever that might be. And we could talk about that sometime on the show, how to discover your giftings, because there's a way to do that. But nevertheless,
I would appreciate that. I'm getting ready to retire, and I'm not going to retire until I pray about this.
I'll tell you what. If you want, I can shift a little bit and tell you how to discover your gifts, what they are.
Okay.
And, you know, for everybody who's listening, I want you to hear this, because it's true and it works. If you want to know what giftings you have before God, and you're gifted, because if you're a human being who's saved, you have gifts. What you do is you get on your knees and you ask God to reveal to you what He's already given you. You ask Him, and you ask Him frequently. And you ask Him to show you what it is that you're gifted to do. What happens is God will answer your prayer, and He will put you in places where you have to speak the truth, build a chair for an old lady, cut someone's lawn because they can't do it themselves, give money to them because of whatever, get on your knees and pray for them. Our giftings are so different, and they vary according to people and circumstances. A lot of time what people think is the gifting they have to have is, I gotta be on TV, that's the gift. No. What the gift is what you have internally as you use them in the areas that God has placed you. And you'll find that the things you want to do will manifest. And some people, like, I know guys who were great at, this is not my gifting, but I've got friends who've come over to my house and have helped me move stuff around the house and pack things and do stuff. That's not my gifting. I have a bad back. I can only work for 1 to 2 hours before it starts seizing up, and I have to sit down. It's just, I'm born with it. Well, these guys will do stuff that I can't do that way. And I'll even say, Matt, we love you. Sit down. Let us lift this. And I want to be a man and get out there and do it. So their gifting is in many areas. Joe and Cameron and Nathan, these are friends that I have that will do this kind of a thing. And it's comforting to know that I have friends who have that gifting. My gifting is to be able to call them heretics and make fun of them while they're working for me and helping them. And so, you know, we have these different gifts, and we manifest them differently, and we can apply the same gift in different ways. So what people have
Matt,
to do
I think my prayer I don't mean to or interrupt you, but just listening to speak to you, this is a affirmation. I think my prayer has already been answered, because I think I was looking for a bigger gift, But my gift, I mean,
what's a bigger gift? What's a bigger gift? Seriously, I'm on the radio talking to thousands of people. Is that a bigger gift than you helping the lady across the street do the things she can't do because she's old? Which is a bigger gift? There's no way to measure.
No, that's a gift of love, and that's the way I am with my friends, family, everybody. I've known, but I took it as a granted because that's just I'm innately born that way. I am a giver, and
you can move next to me and help me out. Then I'd like that. That'd be good.
I'll come over and move you furniture anytime.
It's only cross country.
That's all I've got to say. Well, it's hot down here. Thank you for that. It's been a great day. It really has. And this has just been the icing on the cake.
Good. Well, praise God, man. Good, praise God. Hope that helped you. Okay?
You did. Take care, Matt.
All right, Dave. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. You know, I'm going to continue on this a little bit. I have a saying, trust and go. Trust God. Move forward. Now, don't be stupid. You know, I'm going to trust God to catch me when I jump off this building and go down 10 stories. No. You know, if God calls you to do something, it's on your heart, then move in that direction. What I would suggest you do is if you have something you want to do that you're thinking about, you haven't told anybody, pray about it and ask God to increase it if it's from Him and decrease it if it's from you. Because, you know, I have certain desires, and I regularly pray, Lord, if this is from you, increase it. If it's not from you, decrease it. And I'll notice things will decrease in a lot of areas. But the things I want to do in different ways, He increases. And it's because of His gifting. It doesn't matter what it is. So you have to trust God, but you have to do. You can't just sit. You have to take chances and try and help somebody, whatever it might be, because maybe you might help somebody and find out, well, I do not like doing this. It might not be your gifting. And you find something else to do. And then after a while you say, wow, I cannot believe that I really like going to the bread stores, getting bread that's a little bit old and taking it to the homeless shelter. I love doing that. But that's what you like to do. And you might not know that, you know, if you didn't try. But then you might try that and say, that's not for me. Okay, then it's not for you. Try something else. But what we do is we move forward in our giftings. That's what we do. Move forward so that God can be glorified as you trust Him to reveal to you what He wants you to do. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Give me a call. 3 open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your call at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Lady from North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air. Are you there? Hello, you're on the air. I think you had a question about end times and stuff.
Hello.
Hello. There you go. Welcome. You're on.
Hello.
Is this is Matt Slick. You're on Matt Slick Live. Okay.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can hear
you. Okay. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Thank you. I'm enjoying your show.
Well, good.
But I would like for you to do a sound on a little bit of an Ezekiel. Wait, Ezekiel prophesied about the times that we are going through with the pandemic, how children are turning against their parents, how marriages are being divorced within the same day, men have become lovers of themselves more than lovers of God.
Yes.
And it's also in the book of Revelation as well as the book of Luke.
Yes, I'm quite familiar with this, yes. So what's your question?
That's my question.
Well, I didn't quite get the question. You'll be
just kind
of explaining.
Can we just talk about it? The question I would like for you to talk about on aren't the prophecies that's already been prophesied, and now they're getting ready to come to pass?
Yes. So, I've written an article on my website, karm.org, Signs of the End Times, and I went through and I found those things that the Bible prophesies will be in place when it gets bad, you know, the end. And I can still expand on it even more because there are certain plagues and things that are spoken about in Revelation, but I have to understand them contextually more, which I didn't include those yet. But what we find out from the Gospels and the Epistles is that there'll be the rise of false Christs and false prophets. There'll be war, persecution of the faithful. There's going to be an apostasy of the Christian church. There's going to be lawlessness will increase. Now, that we're seeing this all over the country. And not only here, but in the rest of the world. With the lawless who don't believe in right and wrong, who have an agenda, and you know, they destroy. We see that. There's going to be earthquakes and famines and plagues, an increase in selfishness, lovers of self and money and pleasure. They're arrogant, ungrateful, they're unholy, haters of good. There'll be an increase in the mocking of Christ. We see that all over the place. There's also going to be an increase in knowledge when people go to and fro great distances. Out of Daniel talks about that. There'll be a rise of spiritism, and you mentioned it, the decay of marriage. And there'll be an increase in false teachings. Just turn on TV, watch Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Kenneth Copeland, you see that. Or Roman Catholicism. The gospel will be preached to the whole world. That's a good thing. There's going to be signs in the heavens. And the moon will be darkened and things like this. So this is the kind of things that are going to be around towards the end time. And we're seeing more and more of them. So, but we don't know when it's going to happen. Okay. Are you there? Okay. Hello? Okay. Maybe we just kind of lost her. So I think what we'll do is move along. And,
here.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing a lot of feedback noise, squeaking. Not sure what that is.
Oh,
but
the radio. I'll call it then.
Okay. Thank you. So did that answer your question at all?
Yeah, because it's so ironic how all of these prophecies are coming to pass, but yet and still the pastors, the leaders of the church, persons to be, I feel like they're turning their head against the prophecies and still trying to preach money coming to me and whatever
right.
like that.
Yeah, they're false teachers. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Yes. Yeah, it's part of the apostasy of the Christian church. I speak against the false teachers on TV a lot. Not that all of them are. There are a lot of good ones. But, you know, Fred Price is bad. T.D. Jakes, stay away from. Joyce Meyer, Paula White, Kenneth Copeland,
yes,
Benny Hinn.
White.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Benny Hinn, too. You know, I don't know a lot of people down the world, but Benny Hinn is being supported by Donald Trump.
Well, Donald Trump is not a theologian. I am. So I would love to talk to Donald Trump, the Donald, and say, hey, let me help you out in this area, you know. But and besides to say, hey, you know, say you talk to a guy named Slick who gave you some advice on God. You know, that would just go so well over the airwaves, wouldn't it? But at any rate, so he's a, you know, he's an interesting man, does good and bad. He says good and bad things, but he's got what it takes to fight against the liberal wackos who are trying to destroy him. And I say to people, those kind of personalities that can fight that hard are often defective in other areas. And I know, because I'm just talking about myself. I'm very strong and very determined, and that's a strength, but it can also be a weakness in some other areas. But nevertheless. So the end times are approaching. Does it mean we've got another 100 years or another 5 years? I don't know. So our job.
No one knows the hour. Not a minute.
That's right. Our job is to, as Christians, to be prepared. I say be prepared, that they should prepare as the ant in Proverbs is used as an example of what it means to prepare for the future. In Proverbs 6, 8 and 30:25, the ants are not strong people, but they prepare their food in the summer. They prepare for the lean times. And I believe that what we should be doing as Christians is preparing for difficult times to come. So that's what I say. I think it'd be wise to do that. Get at least 6 months' food supply in your house and water and stuff. This is good to have anyway. I'm not saying go crazy, but with the way things are in the world, with cities burning, and the left doesn't do anything about it, and they reject help, and the media is just so leftist and bigoted, and churches now are being attacked, but they're not covering in the news.
Ooh,
churches now are being attacked now.
Oh,
and,
yes.
Antifa,
yes,
which is
yes.
Antifa, which is a leftist and terrorist organization, and BLM, which is a socialist organization that desires the destruction of the family. And you can go to BLM, blacklivesmatter.com, and read through what they believe. And you'll see towards the bottom of what they believe. They want to destroy, neutral, something. They have a weird word, the nuclear family, the traditional family. They want to get rid of it. And they want children to be raised in a communal environment, which means the leftist organization will be in control. They want your children too. And they promote homosexuality, LGBTQ, and all kinds of stuff. We as Christians cannot stand for that to them. And we need to say all lives matter, not colored lives, as in black, white, orange, brown, green. Not that kind of color. All lives matter, because we're made in the image of God. That's how it should be. So
exactly. All lives matter.
All.
And you know, you can go all the way back when God created Adam and Eve. It wasn't color at all.
No.
God did not mention black and white, red, shoe, or whatever.
That's right.
God created man in his own image.
That's right.
And in the image of God, he created man. And then he created woman out of a man's rib.
That's right.
And he never did miss the color, what color they were.
Well,
so I don't even know why whites think they're more superior than black. Either what's going on, but I know these are the end times.
Maybe they are. And if so, all the more reason to prepare. All right?
All right.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Talking to you. Well, thank you. All right. Now, we're about at a break, so we got three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll get to Sally after the break. I'm going to talk about what she wants to talk about. But, folks, when you see the signs of the times, the Bible talks about preparing, praying, getting ready. But here's an opportunity a lot of people don't think about. We have the opportunity as Christians to be able to speak that gospel to people. We can talk to Christians about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can talk to unbelievers about Jesus. People who are angry, people who are upset, who want justice and righteousness. Well, point them to Jesus, who is the perfect example of justice and righteousness. And give the gospel. We have more and more of an opportunity. The gospel thrives during difficult times. It does. So pray to be used by God for that. That's the biggest preparation you should be making. Hey, folks, we got a commercial coming up. Several of them. So we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the line here with Sally from Raleigh, North Carolina. Sally, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I may have to leave before I'm expecting someone to pick me up in a minute, but I had a question about my grandchild. They're apparently insisting that they're bisexual, and we had a long conversation last night, and she says she just feels guilty being around me, and so she's kind of withdrawing, and so she doesn't answer my calls most of the time, and or my texts, and you know, of course, it's very hurtful.
Yeah.
But I don't want to lessen the fact that she knows, and I think that's why she feels guilty, is that I don't agree with what she's doing, that it's not godly. And yet, I'm trying to figure out a way that we can still have a relationship and yet not compromise my standings, God's standings on the whole subject. So any thoughts that you can give me would be appreciative.
Well, let me disclose this. I have a daughter who is that way. And she does not like being around me very much. That's just what it is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And it gets worse than that. But so what I do is I pray for her. My wife and I pray for her, all of our children. Every single night, we pray for our children. And we pray for salvation. Yeah. We pray for repentance. And when she does come over, which isn't very often, mainly to just kind of, you know, touch bases and a little bit like that, she's polite. I'm polite. I don't bring up the topic. I don't need to bring up the topic. She knows. She knows my position. She knows my wife's position. So what we do is we love her, but we also at the same time never compromise. So once she wanted her boyfriend, at that time boyfriend, to come over, and they wanted to sleep together in our house. And we told them respectfully, you know, we said, we know we love you, and your friend is welcome in our house, but we can't allow that to occur in our house. And it's just how we are. And said, but we're not trying to be judgmental, but it's what we hold to. And so, but you're welcome. And, you know, and so she and he got a place to stay on their own, and they both came over, and we treated them both very well. And so that he could see what Christian love was, but yet he knew what our position was. So don't think that you're going to be able to do everything perfectly. So you can discuss it with your husband if you're married now, or some friends, and just draw some lines that you say, well, I'll allow this and not that. And then when you discover you've been inconsistent a little, just take it to the Lord and ask for better behavior and understanding of things. It's a difficult situation, but it's workable.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your insight.
Yeah.
It's kind of a hard situation that's just becoming so prevalent in our society.
Yes.
It kind of scares me. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, they need to see the love of Christ in us, as Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. Just, I'm not going to condemn you. Just go sin no more. This is the kind of attitude we need to have. We're going to love you. We're not going to approve of that. But we don't approve of that sin. But you know, you're, we love you. We need to see that. Okay? All right?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Ron from North Carolina. Ron, we lost Ron. Now let's jump over to Ryan from Des Moines, Iowa. Ryan, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. I had a quick question about your eschatological view. I actually just wanted to know where you stand on that and why. I have actually a friend who is, I think he's a partial preterist. I'm not sure if that's the way, that's the correct pronunciation for it. But he thinks it's been fulfilled. And when I've had conversations with him about it, because me and my wife sat down with him one time, and he kind of did like a bit of a, he had like a marker board, and he kind of went through some things, and I just didn't really bite on it too much.
Well,
I
let me ask you
where you were at with that.
Okay, there's full preterism, and then there's partial preterism. Full preterism is
partial, because
Full preterism
he
is
doesn't
is,
believe that Christ is returned.
Good. So full preterism is false. Partial preterism can work within orthodoxy. I kind of lean that way myself. And what I mean by that is that it looks like Christ, said certain things, Matthew 24, Luke 17, Matthew 25, and a lot of them were fulfilled at the time of Christ, or shortly afterwards, but not all. And so it looks like when he comes back, because he talks about this at the end of the age, Matthew 24, Luke 17, he talks about this kind of stuff, and it seems to be hinting at the consummation of the ages. So this is why partial preterism is within orthodoxy, and it's okay. It's not false like full preterism is, which is refuted by Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. So it's okay, you know. Now, personally, I believe that we're going to go through the tribulation period. I don't believe we're going to be raptured out of it. I do hope I'm wrong, and I hope that the people who don't believe like me, I hope they're correct. Because I don't want to be right about it. But when I read scripture, that's what I come up with. And stuff like that. Okay?
Okay. Because I... specifically Revelation, I guess, is kind of where my question becomes. Because when I read Revelation, I feel like I see a lot of symbolism. But I know there's also a lot of things that are literal. And so... it's not really in the same means of, it's kind of a different question, but where do you draw the distinction between the two? And how do you go about doing that? I know he says in one point, I believe he says something like, you know, whoever's wise could discern it and stuff like that. I don't remember the exact words, so I'm not going to.
Right. Well, what we have to do in order to study this stuff is just open your Bible and start taking notes, start reading. It's going to take many, many hours. It's just what it is. And you'll start learning things. Now, one of the hints I like to give to people is to study this age and the age to come. Because Jesus talked about the end of this age, as did Paul the Apostle and the other apostles, I believe, Paul did, about the end of the age. And Jesus actually makes some comments about this in Matthew 13, when he says the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares are the evil one, the wheat are the good, and he says, allow both to grow together till the end of the age. And I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares to burn them. So you read stuff like that, and you go, how does that fit into a certain eschatological views? Well, if it doesn't fit into an eschatological view, then the eschatological view is wrong. Because it's what Jesus said. So you got to read the context, read what's going on, is what he said. So he said the first one's taken at the end of the age are the wicked, not the good. That's what it says. Matthew 13, 30 through 40. Just read that range. And when I read that, I was blown away. I don't hear that being taught.
Right.
Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, because... that's what it says. And so when you start reading these things and you start putting this stuff down and you go, wait a minute, what about this, what about that, do a study on the trumpet and the resurrection and the judgment and the new heavens and new earth and what happens, and you'll find that your view of eschatology will be like a little bit like a river that flows as you travel down the scriptures, bumping into things and understanding them finally, and that's what's going to happen as you study. Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome. A lot. All right. God bless. All right.
Bye.
Okay. Let's get to Goron from Florida. I think Goron is one of the characters. It's Klingon in Star Trek, I think, if I remember correctly. Hey, Goron. Are you there?
Hey, Brother Matt, I am. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. What do you got, buddy?
So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39, mm-hmm. where it says, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and not to forbid to speak in tongues.
Right.
So, I'm out of breath. I'm playing with my daughter, but...
that's okay.
So I guess my question is this gift of prophecy that's being described mm-hmm. in this chapter and the previous chapters, mm-hmm. is that still functioning today, or
I believe so. I'm a continuationist. I have good friends who are not. They're cessationist. And my view is that, as Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 1:7, that we, the church, not lack any charisma while we are awaiting the return of Christ, any charismatic gift. The context of 1 Corinthians 14 is in the church context, to prophesy, desire it, and do not forbid speaking in tongues. These are the movements and the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And if you can find this out, you can go to Acts 10:44-48. And it says the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Well, this is what's prophesied out of Joel. Joel 2, I think it's 22-23. I've got to memorize those. And is fulfilled in Acts 2:17-18, in where Peter says, these are in the last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. You know, and so these are considered the last days, the whole 2,000 years. That's how God's economy works. So I am absolutely convinced, biblically, that all these charismatic gifts are for today. I also believe that they're being misused incredibly, and that most of what I've seen on TV is not really a true manifestation of the gifts, but an abuse and fraud. But I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So in church, prophesying is acceptable, as is speaking in tongues. It's just that they must be done according to what the Bible says. And the prophecy is to be judged by the elders, and the speaking in tongues must occur for the edification of the body, not for the individual, must be done with interpretation, otherwise remain silent. The whole idea that Paul is teaching is the movement of the Holy Spirit in the church today. But what I think, and I'm not trying to deride or make fun of or condemn cessationists, because the ones I know are incredibly godly and believe that the truth of the Word of God. But I suspect that we as a whole, as people, are afraid to take risks for the Lord and with the Lord's giftings. And so we want things that are a little more secure. And so we don't move in those areas and don't seek them as much, because they are a little bit unpredictable and we can make mistakes. That's my opinion. Prophecy is for today. I hope that helps.
Amen. That helps a lot. And you know, you really surprised me with your answer, Brother Matt. I don't know why I was expecting you to say it's not for today.
It is for today.
Oh, no.
Call back tomorrow. Call back tomorrow, and I'll give you my reasons biblically more why it's for today. If you want, I'll explain it. I got some good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know you have to go. I wish I could keep quiet.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show today. May the Lord bless you greatly. And by His grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. God bless. Bye.